of man's first disobedience, and the fruit of that forbidden tree whose mortal taste brought death into the world and all our woe with loss of Eden, till one greater man restore us and regain the blissful seat. Sing, heavenly muse, that on the secret top of Oreb or of Sinai didst inspire that shepherd who first taught the chosen seed in the beginning how the heavens and earth rose out of chaos. Or if Zion Hill delight thee more, and Siloa's brook that flowed fast by the oracle of God, I thence invoke thy aid to my adventurous song, that with no middle flight intends to soar above the Aeonian mount, while it pursues things unattempted yet in prose or rhyme. And chiefly thou, O Spirit, that dost prefer before all temples the upright heart and pure, instruct me, for thou knowest, thou from the first wast present, and with mighty wings outspread, dove-like sat'st brooding on the vast abyss and mad'st it pregnant. What in me is dark illumine, what is low raise and support, that to the height of this great argument I may assert eternal providence and justify the ways of God to men. Say first, for heaven hides nothing from thy view, nor the deep tract of hell. Say first, what cause moved our grand parents in that happy state, favored of heaven so highly, to fall off from their creator and transgress his will for one restraint, lords of the world besides? Who first seduced them to that foul revolt? The infernal serpent. He it was whose guile, stirred up with envy and revenge, deceived the mother of mankind, what time his pride had cast him out from heaven with all his host of rebel angels, by whose aid, aspiring to set himself in glory above his peers, he trusted to have equaled the Most High if he opposed, and with ambitious aim against the throne and monarchy of God, raised impious war in heaven and battle proud with vain attempt. Him the almighty power hurled headlong, flaming from the ethereal sky with hideous ruin and combustion down to bottomless perdition, there to dwell in adamantine chains and penal fire, who durst defy the omnipotent to arms. 9 times the space that measures day and night to mortal men, he with his horrid crew lay vanquished, rolling in the fiery gulf, confounded though immortal. But his doom reserved him to more wrath, for now the thought both of lost happiness and lasting pain torments him. Round he throws his baleful eyes that witnessed huge affliction and dismay, mixed with obdurate pride and steadfast hate. At once, as far as angels ken, he views the dismal situation, waste and wild, a dungeon horrible, on all sides round as one great furnace flamed, yet from those flames no light, but rather darkness visible, served only to discover sights of woe, regions of sorrow, doleful shades, where peace and rest can never dwell. Hope never comes that comes to all, but torture without end still urges, and a fiery deluge fed with ever-burning sulfur unconsumed. Such place eternal justice had prepared for those rebellious. Here their prison ordained in utter darkness, and their portion set as far removed from God and light of heaven as from the center thrice to the utmost pole. Oh, how unlike the place from whence they fell. There the companions of his fall, overwhelmed with floods and whirlwinds of tempestuous fire, he soon discerns, and weltering by his side, one next himself in power, and next in crime, long after known in Palestine and named Beelzebub, to whom the archenemy and thence in heaven called Satan, with bold words breaking the horrid silence, thus began. If thou beest he, but oh, how fallen, how changed from him who in the happy realms of light, clothed with transcendent brightness, didst outshine myriads though bright. If he, whom mutual league, united thoughts and counsels, equal hope and hazard in the glorious enterprise, joined with me once, now misery hath joined in equal ruin. Into what pit thou seest, from what height fallen, so much the stronger proved he with his thunder. And till then, who knew the force of those dire arms? Yet not for those, nor what the potent victor in his rage can else inflict, do I repent or change, though change that fixed mind and high disdain from sense of injured merit, that with the mightiest raised me to contend, and to the fierce contention brought along innumerable force of spirits armed that durst dislike his reign, and me preferring his utmost power with adverse power opposed in dubious battle on the plains of heaven, and shook his throne. What though the field be lost? All is not lost. The unconquerable will and study of revenge, immortal hate, and courage never to submit or yield, and what is else not to be overcome, that glory never shall his wrath or might extort from me, to bow and silver grace with suppliant knee, and deify his power, who from the terror of this arm so late doubted his empire. That were low indeed. That were an ignominy and shame beneath this downfall, since by fate the strength of gods and this imperial substance cannot fail, since through experience of this great event, in arms not worse, in foresight much advanced, we may with more successful hope resolve to wage by force or guile eternal war irreconcilable to our grand foe, who now triumphs, and in the excess of joy, sole reigning, holds the tyranny of heaven. So spake the apostate angel, though in pain, vaunting aloud, but racked with deep despair. And him thus answered soon his bold compeer: O prince, O chief of many throned powers, that led the embattled seraphim to war under thy conduct, and in dreadful deeds fearless endangered heaven's perpetual king, and put to proof his high supremacy, whether upheld by strength or chance or fate, too well I see and rue the dire event that with sad overthrow and foul defeat hath lost us heaven, and all this mighty host in horrible destruction laid thus low, as far as gods and heavenly essences can perish. For the mind and spirit remains invincible, and vigor soon returns, though all our glory extinct, and happy state here swallowed up in endless misery. But what if he, our conqueror, whom I now of force believe almighty, since no less than such could have overpowered such force as ours, left us this, our spirit and strength entire, strongly to suffer and support our pains, that we may so suffice his vengeful ire, or do him mightier service as his thralls by right of war, whate'er his business be, here in the heart of hell to work in fire, or do his errands in the gloomy deep? What can it then avail, though yet we feel strength undiminished, or eternal being to undergo eternal punishment? Whereto with speedy words the archfiend replied: Fallen cherub, to be weak is miserable, doing or suffering. But of this be sure, to do aught good never will be our task, but ever to do ill our sole delight, as being the contrary to his high will whom we resist. If then his providence out of our evil seek to bring forth good, our labor must be to pervert that end, and out of good still to find means of evil, which oft times may succeed, so as perhaps shall grieve him, if I fail not, and disturb his inmost counsels from their destined aim. But see, the angry victor hath recalled his ministers of vengeance and pursuit back to the gates of heaven. The sulphurous hail, shot after us in storm, o'erblown, hath laid the fiery surge that from the precipice of heaven received us falling. And the thunder, winged with red lightning and impetuous rage, perhaps hath spent his shafts, and ceases now to bellow through the vast and boundless deep. Let us not slip the occasion, whether scorn or satiate fury yielded from our foe. Seest thou yon dreary plain, forlorn and wild, the seat of desolation, void of light, save what the glimmering of these livid flames casts pale and dreadful? Thither let us tend from off the tossing of these fiery waves. There rest, if any rest can harbor there, and reassembling our afflicted powers, consult we may henceforth most offend our enemy, our own loss how repair, how overcome this dire calamity, what reinforcement we may gain from hope, if not what resolution from despair. Thus Satan, talking to his nearest mate with head uplift above the waves and eyes that sparkling blazed, his other parts besides, prone on the flood, extended long and large, lay floating many a rood, in bulk as huge as whom the fables name of monstrous size, Titanian or earth-born, that warred on Jove, Briareos or Typhon, whom the den by ancient Tarsus held, or that sea-beast Leviathan, which God of all his works created hugest that swim the ocean stream. Him haply slumbering on the Norway foam, the pilot of some small night-foundered skiff, deeming some island, oft, as seamen tell, with fixed anchor in his scaly rind, moors by his side under the lee, while night invests the sea and wished morn delays. So stretched out huge in length the arch-fiend lay, chained on the burning lake, nor ever thence had risen or heaved his head, but that the will and high permission of all-ruling heaven left him at large to his own dark designs, that with reiterated crimes he might heap on himself damnation while he sought evil to others, and enraged might see how all his malice served but to bring forth infinite goodness, grace, and mercy shown on man by him seduced, but on himself treble confusion, wrath, and vengeance poured. Forthwith upright he rears from off the pool his mighty stature. On each hand the flames, driven backward, slope their pointing spires, and rolled in billows, leave in the midst a horrid veil. Then with expanded wings he steers his flight aloft, incumbent on the dusky air that felt unusual weight, till on dry land he lights, if it were land that ever burned with solid as the lake with liquid fire, and such appeared in hue as when the force of subterranean wind transports a hill torn from Pelorus, or the shattered side of thundering Etna, whose combustible and fuel entrails, thence conceiving fire, sublime with mineral fury, aid the winds, and leave the singed bottom all involved with stench and smoke. Such resting found the soul of unblessed feet. Him followed his next mate, both glorying to have escaped the Stygian flood as gods, and by their own recovered strength, not by the sufferance of supernal power. Is this the region, this the soil, the clime,
said then the lost archangel, this the seat that we must change for heaven, this mournful gloom for that celestial light. Be it so, since he who now is sovereign can dispose and bid what shall be right. Farthest from him is best whom reason hath equaled, force hath made supreme above his equals. Farewell, happy fields where joy forever dwells. Hail, horrors! Hail, infernal world! And thou, profoundest hell, receive thy new possessor, one who brings a mind not to be changed by place or time. The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell, a hell of heaven. What matter where, if I be still the same, and what I should be, all but less than he whom thunder hath made greater. Here at least we shall be free. The Almighty hath not built here for his envy, will not drive us hence. Here we may reign secure, and in my choice to reign is worth ambition, though in hell. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. But wherefore let we then our faithful friends, the associates and co-partners of our loss, lie thus astonished on the oblivious pool, and call them not to share with us their part in this unhappy mansion, or once more with rallied arms to try what may be yet regained in heaven, or what more lost in hell. So Satan spake, and him Beelzebub thus answered, leader of those armies bright, which but the omnipotent none could have foiled, if once they hear that voice, their liveliest pledge of hope in fears and dangers, heard so oft in worst extremes, and on the perilous edge of battle when it raged, in all assaults their surest signal, they will soon resume new courage and revive, though now they lie groveling and prostrate on yon lake of fire, as we erewhile, astounded and amazed, no wonder fallen such a pernicious height. He scarce had ceased when the superior fiend was moving toward the shore. His ponderous shield, ethereal temper, massy, large, and round, behind him cast. The broad circumference hung on his shoulders like the moon, whose orb through optic glass the Tuscan artist views at evening from the top of Fesole, or in Valdarno to descry new lands, rivers, or mountains in her spotty globe. His spear, to equal which the tallest pine hewn on Norwegian hills to be the mast of some great admiral were but a wand, he walked with to support uneasy steps over the burning marl, not like those steps on heaven's azure, and the torrid climb smote on him sore besides, vaulted with fire. Nathless he so endured, till on the beach of that inflamed sea he stood, and called his legions, angel forms who lay entranced, thick as autumnal leaves that strow the in Vallombrosa, where the Etrurian shades high overarched embower, or scattered sedge afloat when with fierce winds Orion armed hath vexed the Red Sea coast, whose waves through Bucaris and his Memphian chivalry, while with perfidious hatred they pursued the sojourners of Goshen, who beheld from the safe shore their floating carcasses and broken chariot wheels. So thick bestrown, abject and lost lay these, covering the flood under amazement of their hideous chains. He called so loud that all the hollow deep of hell resounded. Princes, potentates, warriors, the flower of heaven once yours, now lost, if such astonishment as this can seize eternal spirits, or have ye chosen this place after the toil of battle to repose your wearied virtue, for the ease you find to slumber here, as in the vales of heaven, or in this abject posture, have ye sworn to adore the conqueror, who now beholds cherub and seraph rolling in the flood with scattered arms and ensigns, till anon his swift pursuers from heaven gates discern the advantage,
and descending, tread us down, thus drooping, or with linked thunderbolts, transfix us to the bottom of this gulf. Awake! Arise! Or be forever fallen!
They heard and were abashed, and up they sprung upon the wing, as when men wont to watch on duty, sleeping found by whom they dread, rouse and bestir themselves ere well awake. Nor did they not perceive the evil plight in which they were, or the fierce pains not feel, yet to their general's voice they soon obeyed innumerable. As when the potent rod of Amram's son in Egypt's evil day waved round the coast, up called a pitchy cloud of locusts warping on the eastern wind that o'er the realm of impious Pharaoh hung like night and darkened all the land of Nile, so numberless were those bad angels seen hovering on wing under the cope of hell twixt upper, nether, and surrounding fires. Till, as a signal given, the uplifted spear of their great sultan waving to direct their course, in even balance down they light on the firm brimstone and fill all the plain. A multitude, like which the populous north poured never from her frozen loins to pass Rhine or the Danor, when her barbarous sons came like a deluge on the south and spread beneath Gibraltar to the Libyan sands. Forthwith from every squadron and each band, the heads and leaders thither haste where stood their great commander. Godlike shapes and forms excelling human, princely dignities, and powers that erst in heaven sat on thrones, though of their names in heavenly records now be no memorial, blotted out and razed by their rebellion from the books of life. Nor had they yet among the sons of Eve got them new names, till wandering o'er the earth through God's high sufferance for the trial of man, by falsities and lies the greatest part of mankind they corrupted to forsake God their creator, and the invisible glory of him that made them, to transform off to the image of a brute adorned with gay religions full of pomp and gold, and devils to adore for deities. Then were they known to men by various names, and various idols through the heathen world. Say, Muse, their names then known, who first, who last, roused from the slumber on that fiery couch at their great emperor's call, as next in worth came singly where he stood on the bare strand, while the promiscuous crowd stood yet aloof.